Good morning. My name is Mark, and if you'd like to stand, please, as we read the scripture. And this morning we're going to read Psalm 139, if you want to open it on your app or follow here on the big screen. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind me and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days they were formed of me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Such a powerful passage for us to recognize how intimately God knows each of us. And so today I've titled my message, appropriately I believe, is that our response should be much like verses 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so the desire of my heart is I want what you want for me. So let's pray, and we'll get into our Bible study this morning. Father, I thank you so much for the profound blessing that you poured out for all of us through the faithfulness of those who have been changed by you. It's not because they want to be saved that they came to the waters today. No, it's in response to the fact that they have been saved by faith. And therefore, Lord, they come in obedience to make that proclamation so all will know, I don't live for myself anymore. I've died to self, and now I live because another lifts me up. And so, Lord, I pray that that's exactly what you will do with each of us today, is you will lift us from whatever we are involved with, anything that is pressing down on us, the circumstances of life, oh God, that you know them full well. You know our cries. You know our frustrations. You know the fact that in some cases we've even lost hope, and we're here saying, is there any hope? And you are saying, yes, for I am your hope. And so may we hear your voice today and walk in newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. For those that may be visiting Lighthouse today, welcome. We're excited that you are here. Or those that might be new to Lighthouse, you know that I am not Pastor Greg. He has much darker hair than I do. But I am Pastor Ron, and I got the blessing of serving here at Lighthouse Church for 25 years, and I retired on February 2nd of 2024. But somebody, yeah, thank you so much, that's enough. Somebody forgot to tell my wife that I was retired. She has a full-time ministry for me. She has four disciples, and she's got another one that's going to be added in November of this year. And we call those disciples grandchildren. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing ministry, and I'm loving every bit of it. It is wonderful. But I'm telling you, it's harder than being here. It's harder than being here. But a few weeks ago, Pastor Greg sent me a text, and he said, "Hey, would you teach on the subject of intimacy of God?" Woo! Now that is a subject that's a whole lot bigger than my brain can, if you will, even begin to comprehend. But then, so I have been studying, man, I'm going, how do I narrow this down, you know? And then I get this report that we have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 people getting baptized, and I'm going, okay, you know? And then I get this email from Greg last night. How many of you get his email? Oh, good. More of you should get that email so you know what's going to happen today. Well, he sends in this email that I am going to be sharing today on marriage. What? Fortunately for me, I have been incredibly blessed in my marriage to my wife, Susie. We are going to be celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary on June 9th. Yeah, I got to tell you that I am so glad that she said yes when I asked her to marry me, because I seriously doubt that I would be standing here today. So what I'm going to try to do is invite you to listen closely and see the parallels of this message of intimacy with God and this subject called marriage. But it's also for all of you that aren't married for one reason or another, but you sit here maybe longing to be married, maybe a widow or a widower. I don't know, but maybe you've just decided to be single all your life. But I believe that this message has application for every single one of us. And so have patience with me today as we walk through this in a few minutes. See, you don't know this, but I got a clock right back there, right above Mike's Evelyn's head, and he's the one that's pointing to the clocks, you know. He wants out on time to go to lunch. No, that's not true. Hey, there is a guy that some of you might be familiar with. His name is Charles Stanley, and he has put together a Bible called the Life Principles Daily Bible. Are any of you familiar with this other than my wife, Susie? Oh, yeah, some of you are. Very good. Well, my wife, Susie, goes through parts of this with our senior girls with a Bible study in our home during the year. And so he has identified 30 life principles for us to weigh out. And I want to read a couple of those to you today. Fight all your battles on your knees and you win every time. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. If necessary, God will move heaven and earth to show us his will. God assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. Peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. And it goes on. So you can see that even in the titles of this, it talks about the intimacy that God has for us, and that it's throughout all of his word. But the first principle is our intimacy with God, his highest priority for our lives. It's illustrated as he discusses in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, as he gives us the perfect design for marriage. It says, therefore, now this is a man speaking, wives, women. This is a man speaking prophetically, one who is close to God. And this is what he says, therefore, because of all the things that God has done, he's brought us to this culmination for this very purpose. And it's marriage. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That is an absolute. It's a man and a woman that can only be one flesh. Amen? And the man and the woman and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They were both in a place where they were safe and secure in the one who loved them most, and to understand that that is how they are to love one another. The illustration is, the more we draw near to God, the greater the impact will be in our lives and those that we are connected to. So it doesn't exclude any of us. It includes all of us. Charles goes on later and he writes this, God's intention for us has always been a deep, unrestricted intimacy with him with no walls between us. But we know the story, because the story is that sin entered into the bliss of the garden, into the intimacy of garden, and it destroyed that intimacy. But you see, sin is not the problem. The problem is the condition of our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own hearts. And so God, even in the midst of knowing that's the new condition of our heart, doesn't stop loving us. So whether we are married or single, we all have a similar problem. And that problem is a disease. Now, I ran into the recognition of this disease in my life back in November when I was challenged to do 1,000 box step up at CrossFit in 1 hour. Now, that's stupid. And so I lowered the bar. I lowered the bar to 700. And so I'm doing these step ups, you know. And what I don't realize is every time I'm stepping up, I'm taking these muscles in my hip and they're going like this. And you know what's happening? Every time it got harder, this disease that I have started showing up and it took control of my life.
There's a little Pentecostal for you.
But you have this disease too. It's called PRIDE.
Some of you are trying to figure that out right now.
But it's pride that gets in our way. It was pride that they took and made a choice to disobey God, that they would know better. But God had a plan. And speaking of buts, don't look. Can I say thank you, first and foremost, for the wonderful gift that you blessed Susie and I with? Yeah, I don't know if you know this or not, but you blessed us with a gift to go to Europe. And we got to do some amazing things for our retirement gift. We got to go to Holland and visit some folks there for 3 days and go to Paris. And it's like be at the Eiffel Tower and it's beautiful, but it really just points to Jesus. Did you know that? And of course, I got to be there with my wife and take this great train ride to this place called Zermatt, Switzerland. And from there, we go to this place called Florence. And there's a guy there that doesn't have clothes on. And he's in a museum. But the point behind the backside of David, because I wasn't going to show you the front side, I think you might have run me out of here on a rail, boy, I'll tell you. What's he showing that for in church? You know, and it's like, well, let me tell you. Because the truth of the matter is that the David reminds us that nothing is hidden from the Lord. And it does not obstruct his love for us. God's infinite love says, I have a plan to restore that intimate relationship between us because he cares for us. Even if we don't care for ourselves, he loves us even when we don't love ourselves. Whew, thank you for taking that off of the screen. I didn't know how long that butt was going to be behind me. I bet none of you have ever seen that part of it, have you? That's why I took that picture. I go, they're going to love this. No, that's terrible. But God has a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know, God knows the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity or evil. To give you, God's plan is to give you a future and a hope beyond the future that we know here in this mortal life. It's called eternity. Then you will call on me. When we realize that, when we come to a recognition that I want what God wants for me, I want his plan for my life, he says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. That's a great promise. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah. All right. I'm going to make you into Baptist sooner or later. But you see, that's what God's plan was for me. Because I was sick. I was a mess. I was full of that pride disease. And I thought I knew all there was to know about God. And I thought I knew all there was to know about life. But one night when I was leaving from dropping off a date with someone I thought I wanted to get to know, but really, I realized that's not a good plan. I cried out into the heavens, and this is the prayer that I prayed that I didn't fully understand what it meant, but I think that God gave me that prayer to lift up to him for my own life, but also for your lives, that I might share that with you. Because what I prayed was, I prayed, God, I have made a mess of my life, and what I want is I want what you want for me. What I didn't understand about that time period is that God's plan for me, what he wanted for me, was him. He wanted to know, he wanted me to know him as intimately as he knew me. Because he could see me past all the darkness of my sin. He could see me as a new creature. The old has passed away, and behold the new, and that I have a whole different purpose for my life. You see, God chose to become a man, Emmanuel, God with us, not God being a man who becomes a God. That's ridiculous. No, God became a man to rescue us, to be the innocent sacrifice, to pay the cost for my sin, for our sin, for the sin of the world on the cross, and its horrific consequence called death. Permanent separation from God forever in the torment of darkness. He rescues us from the domain of darkness, from a condition that we can't even begin to comprehend. It is so dark that you can't even see this when it's in front of your face. And it never changes. But God says, I am going to rescue you
from that darkness. And I'm going to give you life. Just as he came to life 3 days later, I know that as he lives, I am going to live. In Hebrews chapter 7, it talks about Jesus as our high priest, that he possesses the Melchizedek priesthood. Now understand this about the Melchizedek priesthood. You have to be the one and only eternal being in order to hold the Melchizedek priesthood. I came out of a religion that men thought that they could hold that, and what they did was they lorded it over other men to control them. And God is saying, no, I have come to set you free. Because as he was declared the priest, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. And so that makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The first covenant was the Passover, the shedding of innocent animals' blood to cover mankind. But the one that was to come would be the Lamb of God, whose blood would take away the sin of the world. He is the one who is able to save to the uttermost. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I read words like that. Because I can't comprehend the uttermost. And that's what eternity is with him is like. But he knows what it is. So I can trust him for something that I can't comprehend until I'm there. But he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's what Jesus is doing for you right now. And that's what Jesus is doing for you right now. Donald, bless your heart. Woo! Yeah. 89 and a half. Dude, it's about time. I love you, buddy. Man, I love you. I'm so thrilled for the step that you took for the benefit of all of us that says, don't delay. Do it now. Amen. Yeah, because he's coming. Amen. He is, yes, amen. So can I just encourage us that no matter if you're married or single, whatever the condition of your marriage is or your life may be, Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost. There is nothing so dark, so deep, that he cannot reach you. That's how great his grace is. His reach extends further than where you are. And he is able to do something that I can't do. None of us can do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. I remember early in ministry when I got the opportunity to go and pray for a man that was in the hospital. He was dying of congestive heart failure, and I didn't know him. I knew his daughter and his son-in-law. They went to Lighthouse Church, and they'd called and said, hey, Ron, can you come and pray for my dad? And so I went, and I prayed for him, and they released him because he said, I want to die at home. And so he goes home, and he goes, man, I want to talk to that Ron again. So I go to his home and I visit with him. His name is Jay LaJeunesse, and some of you may have been a student of his. He taught for many, many years. And Jay said, Ron, I don't know. I'm just anxious. I don't know if I've done enough good for Jesus. And I realized at that moment he did not know Jesus. And I said to him, Jay, it's not about what good you think you may have done. It's not good enough for him. It's all about what he has done for you, because he's the righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to become righteous so that you might be made the righteousness of him. He becomes sin so that you might be made the righteousness of him. I said, it's all about what he has done. And so you have to put your faith in him. I said, do you want to do that, Jay? He said, yes. And I said, well, just pray and ask him to come into your life. And this is Jay's prayer. He says, dear God, I hope I've done enough good that you will let me into heaven. And so I interrupted him, and I don't typically interrupt people when they're praying, but today I did, that day I did. I said, Jay, can I help you? And he goes, oh, would you please? I said, just pray from your heart, and I will lead you to Jesus. And I got the opportunity to lead that man to Jesus. And when he got done praying, he looked at me and he goes, I feel great. I feel like a ton of weight has just been lifted from my shoulders. And I said, that's the freedom that Jesus gives, because he sets us free from all sin. Amen? Amen. So no matter where you are in your marriage, the conflicts you may have, the offenses you may have, personally, wherever you've been and whatever sin you've been involved, God has a plan to save you, to set us free from the bondage of guilt, to set us free from the bondage of shame, to set us free from the bondage of the disease of pride, to set us free from the bondage of the distraction of Egypt, which is the typology for this world, for all the multiplicities of sin. God is him, and him alone is the one that is able to save us, but you must receive him. Just like Jay needed to receive him. It's called surrender. I surrender to the magnitude of how great this eternal God is, who's the creator of all things, who fearfully and wonderfully made me, who knows me intimately, and I surrender to him. That's the life that we get to have, is one with our Creator. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. It's faith, folks. It's not about what you do. It's about who you believe in. That's what this walk with Jesus is all about. And you've heard this story, and I'm reminding you again, because I want you to share this story of hope with a world that's lost and they're dying. And they need Jesus. Pastor Greg said that I would share secrets, not secrets, please forgive me, of our marriage. My wife threatened me this morning. Don't you dare share any of our secrets. And I said, why would I do that? I can't even remember them. There is benefit to getting older, let me tell you. Oh, I'm just messing with you. But after we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've become a child of God. We're different than being made by God. No, now we've become a child of God. We have a new birth, being born again by the Spirit. The things that Susie and I agreed upon, I asked her, I said, what are the three things that you think have been beneficial, successful in our marriage? And she said, one, you give me money each month. No, she didn't say that. For us personally, we each individually spend time with Jesus. She even locks the door. But I rejoice in knowing that she's spending time with Jesus and she doesn't want to be interrupted. I love my time with Jesus early in the morning. In fact, I love the summer months because I love to go out on our front porch and sit on our front porch when it's really quiet. Because you know what I get to hear? I get to hear the birds sing. And they're singing praises to Jesus. And I get to enter into that. And they're going, man, who's the crow over there? But I spend time with Jesus every day. People ask me, how do you know so much about the Bible? It's because I read it every day. I can't live without spending time with the one who has given me life. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He says, don't shine that others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see him. Amen? Yeah. The other thing that we do, is we pray for each other every day. I love praying for my Susie at night. Now, sometimes I'm exhausted and she has to finish the prayer. But sometimes she's exhausted. And I get to pray things that she doesn't even know that I'm praying for her. I love praying for my Susie. If you don't have that in your life, can I encourage you? Start that today. Put your arm around your spouse. Hold their hand and pray. And you say, well, I don't have a spouse. Well, let me tell you something. You do, and his name is Jesus because he's your husband. Pray and trust him for greater things. The third thing that we both agreed upon is you reconcile offenses quickly. Don't wait. Don't do the silent treatment thing. No. Go. That life verse that we had at the beginning that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because the reality is the problem typically is with me. And I have to come to a place of humility to say, I acknowledge that it's my fault, and I'd ask that you would forgive me. Because when you harbor hurts in your heart, it causes you to become bitter. And you think you're controlling it, and you're not. It's going to control you. And it will be a reflection of your life rather than Christ being the reflection of your life. I love not having issues with Susie. Because then I know that she kisses me passionately when I need it. That's enough. But Corrie Ten Boom said this about the importance of forgiveness in our lives and the fact that we don't attach strings to forgiveness. Jesus doesn't attach strings to forgiveness. He forgives. He cleanses. And we have new life. Corrie Ten Boom said this about it. I think it goes something like this. It says, go quickly and seek forgiveness from others that you have offenses with, for the captive you set free will be you. So the last thing, and I added this, so Susie, please forgive me. But remember, your spouse or other people are not your enemies. If married, that's your lover. If you're married and you're sitting next to your spouse, I want you to turn to them. I want you to look right into their eyes, and I want you to say, I'm your lover. And now you say back, I'm so glad. And if you're single, that's what you get to say to Jesus. What an intimate moment that will be for you to tell him, you're my lover, and I'm so glad. How much time we got? 7 minutes. Do I really have 7 minutes? Or is it just two? Come on, give me the signal. Oh, I got a thumbs up. So when you invite Christ to forgive you and come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, he does. Immediately. And he will give you his helper, his Holy Spirit to lead you. And I encourage you, listen closely to learn the character of his voice. In the perfect design of marriage, God said, after he made Adam, in Genesis 2:18, it says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. That was a woman. A woman is the only one that is fit for a man. She completes the man. God brought her to him. And so trust me, I know the Lord knows that I need my helper, Susie. The first night, we go to Switzerland, and it's raining, and it's cloudy, and you can't even see the tops of the Alps, but they're there because you're in a valley, and you see these massive mountains just shooting straight up, and it's like, wow, how high do they go? Well, it's raining, and Susie sets her alarm for the next morning at 6 a.m., and I'm going, I'm sleeping. I'm setting my alarm for 6:30 a.m., but I want to show you what happened at 6 a.m. when Susie woke up. That's what she saw out of our bedroom window. And do you know what she did? Run! Oh my gosh! What? I don't think I've ever heard my wife yell at me before, but I'm so glad she did. She brought me out of a dead sleep, and I went, whoa. Yeah, that's my, she goes, check this out. So anyway, so we're watching this amazing sunrise. Go to the next picture. And this starts happening. And I'm going, what is going on? And then this, and it starts getting bigger. This Matterhorn is massive. And then, bam, oh my goodness. And then, it's like that mountain is on fire. It's all that, you know, I suppose we could have seen Moses up there. Maybe he was in the wrong spot, you know. But then this, it's like, how do you get such beauty? How do you get such splendor? How do you do this, Lord? What are you doing? And then this. And it seems strange. It's like, Lord, I don't understand this. Why isn't the whole mountain just aglow? Why is it actually going down? As the sun is rising, the sun, as it's glistening off this mountain, it's seemingly going away. But then, do you know what time it was when that picture was there? 6:30. I'm not kidding. I would have just been waking up, and Susie would have been glowing. I would have gone, where you been? What are you doing? But God, when we get up to spend time with Him, He shows us fearfully and wonderfully things that He is doing, and He wants to fill our lives so that our lives, wherever we go, we're the glowing part. Now, that's a phenomenon that we didn't realize happened that day, because that's not typical. Because what had happened is the snow that came in that night before, it was a wet snow, and so it stuck to the mountain. In the winter, it's dry, and that mountain is bold, and it's hard and rocky. And all day long, we got to go and witness this amazing mountain. But we had something that other people didn't have. We would talk to people. Hey, did you see the sunrise? No. Did you see the sunrise? No. Did you see? So let me tell you. I start getting my phone out and showing people. And they're going, whoa. I said, you got to get up at 6 in the morning. And the funny thing about it is the next 6 in the morning, it was cloudy. The next day it was cloudy. You couldn't see it again. One day, that magnificent, splendid glory of God showing, I am with you and I am faithful to my promise that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your incredible love that you have for us personally, and that we get the opportunity to receive and to share that with those closest to us. Oh, dear God, if there are fences in marriages today, I pray that you would humble your people and they would go. And they would seek forgiveness. They would acknowledge the wrong, whatever it was. Stop holding on to it. Stop being right. And start being loving. And living Jesus in a way that is filled with the power of your Spirit, that glorious things will take place. And that we will get to see them magnified in our lives. Dear God, you want to do a work today in our midst. You want to allow the work of your Spirit to shine magnificently in our lives. And so corporately, may we today say, Jesus, search our hearts, O God. Know our hearts.
even though we know that they're desperately wicked. Oh, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Change me, oh God. Shape me to be the man, the woman that you want me to be for your glory. Oh, that I could get to see the splendor of who you are and share that wherever I go. That the joy of fellowship that we experience with you is shared with our loved ones, with our spouses, with our children, with our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Lord, with our grandparents, our great-grandparents, with those that you have surrounded us with, oh, that we would be your ambassadors of love, that we would be your ambassadors of grace, that we would be your ambassadors of kindness, because we're filled up with you. And what they see is not us, but they see a God glowing magnificently through us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.